You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. This week, commentator Dr. Gary Joyner recounts the term lost generation, originally used to describe authors who became disillusioned with America. But here, Gary reapplies it to discuss the generation of youth lost during World War I.
The term lost generation is usually associated with a group of American writers who grew up during and just before World War I and made their reputations in the 1920s. It is perhaps more fitting when referring to the entire post-World War I American generation. The term is attributed to Gertrude Stein in a comment to Ernest Hemingway. The future literary giants considered themselves lost because their recently learned values did not fit into the post-war world, and they considered themselves spiritually bereft from a country they considered hopelessly provincial and unemotional. Many of them became expatriates and lived in Paris for most of the 1920s. Among them were Hemingway, Hart Crane, F. Scott Fitzgerald, E. E. Cummings, and Archibald MacLeish. Perhaps it is more appropriate to talk about the true lost generation, those who became casualties, killed, wounded, or missing in that horrific war, which until World War II was simply called the Great War. Nothing like it had ever been experienced. New weapons were introduced, including airplanes, tanks, poison gas, and machine guns. The Germans had invented artillery pieces so large that the shells created small earthquakes once they crashed into the ground. They termed these giant guns Big Berthas. The number of military and civilian deaths was so large as to be mind-numbing. Just reviewing military losses, one can see that it was hoped that this was to be the war to end all wars. The odds were a soldier from a combatant country would be killed, wounded, or missing. 3/4 of the forces committed from Russia and France suffered this fate. 2/3 of those from Germany were casualties, and 90% of the old Austro-Hungarian Empire met their demise in this war. The British Empire suffered 1/3 casualties because the fighting did not occur on their soil. The United States casualties numbered only 8% because we entered the war late and fought only during the last 18 months. Armies were not the only ones to suffer. Civilian casualties, particularly in Russia and France, where most of the fighting took place, raised total casualties dramatically. Each time we hear of the deaths of soldiers today, generally by a dozen or so, we mourn for those valiant soldiers who will never come home. The outcry from those opposed to the war is fierce. We know that each loss of life is tragic. But we are losing individuals, not an entire generation. Let me offer some perspective. In 1914, when the First World War began, the United States boasted just over 99 million people, Great Britain and Ireland just over 46 million, and France about 40 million people. Now let's mention some of the war's bloodiest battles. For instance, the Battle of the Marne in 1914 saw British casualties at 20,000 dead and 35,000 wounded, probably more than any army in any war on a single day. During the Battle of the Somme in 1916, both the French and the Germans lost about 250,000 men. That means that each lost the equivalent population of modern-day Shreveport and Bossier City. In small countries like France, England, and Germany, the decimation of a generation of men created huge numbers of widows and orphans. The loss of men in the workforce made recovery that much more difficult. The animosities left behind created the seeds for an even larger tragedy, World War II, and that is why history matters.
History Matters is made possible in part by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities and Louisiana Cultural Vistas magazine.